Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing?
Well, windy earlier.
Yeah, it was earlier this week. I tell you what, we talked about fall. We did some shows about fall coming, and we got some of those. First, we had those clear mornings, which were cool, and then here we are with a little bit of wind blowing some of the dust around and making havoc for everybody out there. So it's definitely fall right now. We have with us also our in-house lending specialist, Mike Denslow with Home Street. Mike, how you doing over there?
I'm doing good. As a sports fan, this is a good time of year because the NBA just started. The baseball's in the playoffs and football's right in the middle of the season, pro and college. I mean, the Washington schools didn't do very well last weekend, but high school, everything. It just seems like there's a lot going on right now.
There is a lot going on right now for sure. And now having some high school kids and some of our buyers agents on our team have high school kids. I even ended up at a girls volleyball match for Richland last week. And so shout out to them. They're doing pretty good. They look way more skilled than I'd be out there, I can tell you that. And Mike, you sat in my heart a little bit when you leave out the NHL.
Oh, no. NHL. Okay. NHL. Well, to me, growing up here, it's still the fourth.
Gotcha.
Basketball, baseball, football, and hockey.
Yeah, so it's firing up, too. And, going crazy around our house. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And I tell you about this one, not too far away from us over in Sun Valley, you've got legendary musician Steve Miller selling his Sun Valley, Idaho compound. Crazy. He built this property in 1987. He's actually been the sole owner. He's been there in the Sun Valley area almost 30 years. Used to fly his band in there to record there. This place is on the market for $16 million. But let me tell you, 13 acres, has an 8,000 square foot main house, three guest cottages that are about 3,000 square feet apiece, and a 1,600 square foot art barn, plus a recording studio. I mean, this place, it's incredible. I mean, I've always liked the Sun Valley area and the look of that area and the snow that they get and the skiing. But right on the river, borders Eagle Creek and Big Wood River. I mean, this place, like, there's some of these that are just crazy, and I report on them, but there's some of these I look at, and I was like, oh, man, now that's a place.
I bet Steve Miller could just say abracadabra and sell that thing.
He's hoping it'll fly away like an eagle.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are getting deep in it here today. I love it. So that is the celebrity real estate story there. Steve Miller. Trying to take the money and run. I'll join in with you guys. So
that was better because abracadabra was one of his worst songs.
I agree.
There you go.
So now, then he'll be living in the USA.
Yeah. Oh, he had to finish. Okay, we knew the radio guy would get us in the end. So on a local story, we always like to kind of take those national crazy stories, but then look at, and this one kind of combines both. Pretty prominent local builder earlier in the week sent out a bulletin to agents across Tri-Cities and their clients stating that because of the vast amount of the wildfires that were going on in California, coupled with the flooding and some suppliers being down south, that they were pre-warning people to expect delays in construction right now because they're having trouble sourcing some of their materials because of all of these natural disasters. So potential construction delays and then price increases as some of these supplies are spiking in pricing due to some of these natural disasters. So kind of interesting when you see those stories on the news and then you get, and then how that really chain reaction down to a local company who's now putting out bulletins that are affecting our clients that we're putting into houses. And so just, you know, we're kind of keeping an eye on that. We'll keep the community aware of what's happening. But they're just kind of taking that proactive approach and saying, We might not make our closing deadline. We might have some issues with pricing on some of these items. And so here's what we're dealing with. So in light of that, we always like to take things that are happening in real life in the business and relate that to our show topic. So when I took a look at that, I really came up with this week. And Mike and I said, let's talk about outside influences in the real world that can affect your real estate transaction. I mean, we talk about how complicated it is sometimes in that you've got 40, 50 people involved and touches throughout this transaction, that we probably had 7 or 8 examples this week alone that we were working on that were influences outside of the client and us as realtors, our control in the transaction. And so kind of took a tally and kept a list of those that were happening this week that we went through and wrote those down. So number one on the list that happens is we had a contract in the office. And we had a 10-day inspection time period on there. And Mike and I talked last week that we were both seeing an uptick in the market. And we kind of had a wave of buyers coming in because there was more inventory coming to market. And we were actually seeing an increased number of sales between our two offices and in our portfolio. Well, you go to make that home inspection appointment, and contractually you generally have 10 days to get that done and report the results and your findings back to the seller. Went to make the inspection appointment, and they're booked out 9 days. They're solid, including weekends and working weekends. So now all of a sudden you're doing the home inspection on that 9th day. It's really difficult if something comes up that evening or afternoon in that inspection with the time deadlines to make the proper notices. And so what ended up happening in that particular transaction is that home inspector had there had just been a unexpected increase in the number of home inspection requests. He had filled up all of his weekend and evening slots. I mean, he was really maxed out. Yes, there's other home inspectors out there, but this particular buyer, this is who they wanted to use as their inspector. So we ended up having to extend that deadline by 5 additional days. The buyer came and said, hey, here's what I'm running into, Mr. Seller. You know, what options do we have? So now what we're dealing with in general is what will happen in those situations is a lot of times, and we're going to talk about this as our next point, but a lot of times we'll wait and not order the appraisal until we know that inspection's done and that deal is moving forward. Sometimes we will, but there's potential risk and cost associated with that. So in this particular case, now we're bumping everything out 5 additional days. And last week, Mike did a great job talking about reverse engineering closing dates. And all of a sudden, we're calling Mike and saying, we just blew you up 5 days. And what's that look like now? And here we are just, you know, a week into the contract. So the number one thing I wrote down is the scheduling of some of the subcontractors and the contractors in that situation. Now, that really leads us to point number two. And I'm going to have Mike at Home Street talk about this quite a bit, but we just talked about getting an appraisal done. If there's financing involved, if the buyer's using financing in a transaction, the lender is going to need to order an appraisal, and they're going to need to order that appraisal to ensure that the property they're lending money on has sufficient collateral and equity for the bank to be able to make a good decision about lending that money. So, Mike, I'm going to turn it over to you and how what can happen in that appraisal process? I mean, I think a lot of folks out there that don't know better think that someone in your office is going to go out and do the appraisal. So why can't you get to it?
Yeah, good question. yeah, appraisers, you know as well as I that they are very crucial to making everything happen on time. We've got, just like with inspectors, not a supply and demand issue at times during the year where there just simply isn't enough time in the day and not enough appraisers that are out there licensed to get everything done. Right now, I would say a general timeline to get an appraisal is roughly 3 weeks, maybe even three and a half weeks. Back, you know, when I first got started, it was like a week to a week and a half. And now, 15 years later, it's more than doubled. And there's fewer appraisers out there. There's more scrutiny on what they do. And a lot of people are not getting into that industry. So what happens is, yeah, we get a contract from your office and we look at it. We talk to the client and we're like, hey, you know, we got a 30-day close or maybe we got a 40 or 50-day close. If we've got a longer closing, it's generally going to be just fine. We're going to let the inspection happen. We're going to order the appraisal. But if we have a short timeline to closing of that home, most of the time we can't wait for that inspection to come back because we've got to get it in the queue and get it assigned to somebody. And then if you come back in a week and say, hey, you know, they're backing out or they couldn't come to an agreement because of an issue, then we'll cancel that appraisal. And 99% of the time there won't be any costs associated. So we have to scheme. We have to figure out, hey, what makes the most sense here? If you're trying to meet a closing date that's 27 days away by the time, you know, we're ready to order the appraisal, then we have to order it right then because we have to get that appraisal back in at least 4 business days before so we can do the closing disclosure because we can't do the closing disclosure, which has to be acknowledged by the client. You can't do that until you have the appraisal. And then after the closing disclosure, you can't sign your loan documents for 3 more days. So I don't expect everyone to follow all of that. We'll do that for you, but we will make guidance and recommendations based off of that reverse engineering that you talked about.
No, that's a great point. And one of the reasons that I bring this up for the show right now is I had somebody in my office that was one of our transaction coordinators who was doing just like Mike does. She was reverse engineering things. We had this delay on this inspection and she says, okay, now we had a closing date that was Wednesday because they wanted to move in over the Thanksgiving weekend. And she's like, there's no way that's going to happen now unless they order the appraisal now. And so she was reverse engineering and she was already thinking about their move in on Thanksgiving weekend. And so you really have to put it out there to be on top of those things. And I love it when they bring me these scenarios
a week in advance. A month in advance.
Yeah. And they're thinking that far ahead to say, gosh, Lance, I'm really worried about our buyer getting in for that Thanksgiving weekend, you know, and it's awesome, but you do have to really be looking at those situations. The third point that I wrote down that can happen outside of the control of those situations, and I put in here, and that is a significant change in job status by a borrower. We can have everything from a borrower loses their job to potentially a borrower is transferred. And what happens sometimes we see with contract work or similar line of work is we'll see people that especially maybe subcontractors and companies out in the area or out at Hanford, maybe somebody is changing a position, but generally doing the same work. But now they have a new job title and it's with a different company. So if this happens during a transaction, I mean, my first panicked call is usually to Mike Denslow when we find out that this has happened and making sure he knows what's going on. But Mike, this really affects you on the lending side.
Absolutely. And there is no straight answer to give because it depends on if they're hourly or are they commission, what's their work experience, how long were they with their previous job. Is it conventional? Is it VA? Is it FHA? I mean, it's a loaded question. And it happens. I wouldn't say it's that regularly, but what sometimes happens is somebody will come in to get pre-approved and, oh, I found this house I like, but I also found this job I want to switch to. And there are different options within each program, conventional FHA, VA, that have some allowance for that, but it's not changing fields. Like if you're going from doing one thing to another, they're going to want to see some stability. So best thing to do is talk to your lender and get that out early, because the more we don't know, the less we can help.
Absolutely. That totally makes sense. We've been talking about outside factors outside of your control that can really have a big impact on your real estate transaction. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk some new inventory that got put on the market this week and finish up with a few other of these outside factors that we're constantly monitoring in a real estate transaction.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some outside influences, generally out of the control of the real estate agents and the clients, that affect the real estate. But I know I'll get going and get out of control with my time. So before we do that, I want to introduce a couple new listings to the market. Pick number one, this is 86104. This is Summit View Drive, kind of up above Riata in Kennewick. And this is a brand new construction, 3-bed, 2-bath Rambler. It is 2270 square feet, beautiful new home by Royal Holland Construction. And it was done in a time period design that he calls the California bungalow. So it's got a beautiful big front porch with big columns on it, very open floor plan, huge family room for entertaining. You've got absolutely beautiful accents. You've got French doors that go out to a private patio. And you've got a really, really nice view up there in Summit View. This is coming in priced at $365,000 for brand new construction. So fantastic new property, brand new to the market. Pick number two, 1032 Birch in Richland. This is an updated 3-bed, 1-bath Rambler, 1488 square feet. Big covered front porch. You've got wood floors. You've got a large living room, dining room that opens up to the kitchen. They've updated the bathroom. Lots of extra storage space. They've done all new vinyl windows and a fully fenced yard. And you're coming in central Richland location on Birch there at $179.9. So that's a good property that's in that price point that's been really hard to find over the last 4 months, that now's a great opportunity to get something like that. And then pick number three, 2720 South Dennis in Kennewick. This is a 2-bedroom, 2-bath townhouse, 1,251 square feet, open concept living room, corner gas fireplace, master suite with a big walk-in closet, dual vanity. This really is kind of that carefree townhouse living, because you've got grounds maintained and lawn care in the monthly dues, and they're pretty low monthly dues. Conveniently located close to the golf course, really centrally located. And that's coming in at $205,000 for a newer townhome. So if someone was looking to downsize, go to no maintenance, that's another really, really good option. So before the break, we talked a little bit about outside or unexpected influences in the real estate process that can affect closing dates, that could affect transactions going together. This topic really came about because we were seeing local builders already starting to struggle with supply chain issues, with what's going on with the fires in California and some of the natural disasters. And so when these unexpected things come up, it's always, you know, really hard on the end client. And when I say that, it's because they're dealing with a lot. For instance, potentially they've packed up their house, and so they're in boxes, they're eating off of paper plates, and all of the sudden, you know, they thought they were moving in 3 to 4 days. They have movers scheduled, and then all of a sudden one of these outside factors happens, and they're not moving. And then it's hard to tell exactly, well, when are we moving? 3 days? Or 6 days. And so these are the parts of real estate that can get really stressful at the end of a transaction for the clients and the people involved. And then you have the whole scheduling thing where someone's like, well, hey, the movers were supposed to be here tomorrow. There's nowhere for us to move to. And now when we are going to close, say in a week and a half, are the movers even available that day? And so you really start juggling, you know, a lot of balls in the air as you're trying to make these things happen. So the next reason that I wrote down that can cause delays from outside factors in a transaction is I put down, and we, you know, all of these are real life examples from the last 2 to 3 months that we've been dealing with. And this one was, if major repairs are called out on a project or a house, say during the appraisal even, getting the contractors in on short notice and in a timely manner to complete those repairs and still close on time, especially the way our construction industry is right now with how busy everybody is. So I'll let Mike speak to this a little bit too, because he'll see this happen sometimes from the appraisal report.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to come up on the appraisal report if it's something major. The main thing that we see on this type of thing is roof. Life of a roof is less than a year, you know, that kind of thing. And it comes up and it's tricky. You know, maybe the seller is selling because they need the money and they don't have the money to buy another roof. Maybe it's a bank owned property that says cash or conventional, and there's an issue with the house and it can't even go conventional. They think it could, but it can't because, again, there's an issue. I mean, I focus on roof because that's what I see the majority of the time, but there's a lot of other little things that I've seen over the years. Hopefully, you know, the listing agent has done a very diligent job in, you know, rooting out all of these things in advance. But you know, you and I both know that that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen. And, you know, it's one of, so this is a very, you gave a great example, and I can really speak to this, is you meet with somebody and they're like, hey, I don't really have the money to put a new roof on. You take a look at the roof and you're like, you know, I do think it looks like there's 2 to 5 years left. You might even have a roofer come say that. And certify that, and you would have to, because we're not a roofing expert, we're in real estate. So say you have that and you're like, okay, well, this will probably go. The appraiser comes out, that appraiser has full autonomy to disagree with that if they wanted to. So let's say the appraiser does disagree with that. Mike, I think it's highly likely that you would be expecting an appraisal report back, what, 2 weeks prior to closing?
A weekish.
Okay, yeah. So that appraiser goes out and says, gosh, you know, I just don't think this is a 2-year certification, and it looks like this certification came from a third cousin of the seller, so I don't trust it. Let's get somebody else out here to look at it. And they come out and they say, no, I'm sorry, I can't put my name to it. So here we are. The listing agent thought, you know, they had no problems with this, you know, the last 3 transactions. Now it's a problem. And you've got 1 week before closing, and you've got to find somebody to put a new roof on that house. And that's where things get difficult.
And the appraiser has to come back out and verify that it happened. And the loan docs and the closing disclosure and all of that stuff all has to happen, and it's not going to happen in a week.
Yeah, and so those are some of the things. Once again, another good example, and I'm glad I didn't have that one written down. I'm glad you came up with that, Mike, and that's another great example of some of these things that can happen, outside influences towards the end of a transaction. Mike has another one.
Well, I mean, we talk about the buyer. Let's say you're representing the seller, and the outside things that could happen is assets from several different angles. They're getting a 401k loan. They're getting a gift from a relative. all these different things. You probably have it on your list as well, so maybe I jumped. But all those different types of things, you know, oh, mom said she's going to give me a gift. And then we're trying to figure out when that's going to happen and find out that she's getting a 401k loan to then be able to gift you the money to put down. So there's just a lot of layers. I had a transaction, I'd say, with your team probably last month, I think. And when I first met with the gentleman, he told me what the plan was. I knew the company that handled his 401k, a large employer here in town. I said, we'll just start that paperwork now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, get that thing going. And he said it was going to take 10 to 15 business days, and it did.
Yeah, and you're right, and that's good advice. And I think a lot of these illustrate, even if they are factors outside of your control, it seems like earlier timing, the amount you can get done earlier, especially as we come into the holidays, is going to be key. We had another transaction where we were waiting on the recording of a satisfaction of mortgage. So it was a private note. It had been paid off 4 or 5 months ago. So they needed the note holder to sign a satisfaction of mortgage. Normally this would happen automatically with a bigger institution, but since it was a private note holder, it didn't. They overnighted the satisfaction of mortgage to the mortgage holder. And he was hunting in the bush in Alaska for like 2 weeks. I mean, there's no possible way that was getting signed, you know, outside factor outside of your control. So, yeah, those are good points. And I love that one, Mike, is just start as early as possible on those.
Well, and you brought it up before, is the local lender piece. I'm going to push for that as well, because when you can come in and sit down with someone. And I've always encouraged people to come and sit down and meet with me in the beginning just so we can hash out everything and we can ask questions we don't think to ask. Maybe if you're on the phone, you know, oh, I didn't see that until later. And then just a lot of different things that are going on there. But the sooner that you can have that conversation and we can look at things, oh, hey, where's this money coming from? Oh, it's coming from here. All right. What about this? What about this? There's just so much more personal level of communication that gets to the bottom of those things. And then the last piece of that is accountability on your list. I don't know if out of town lenders are on your list, because what's the
they weren't, but that's a really funny point.
Well, right, because I hear it all the time that, oh, I can't get a hold of my lender, so I want to switch over to you guys.
Yeah,
I don't care that I'm 2 weeks away from closing. They haven't called me back in a week. We just want to switch so that we can walk in and ask, if we haven't heard anything, what the latest is.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense. And I am gonna add out of town lender to my list just for you, because that is absolutely fantastic. So,
see, and the thing of it is, as soon as you mentioned that story, that's why, if you heard that beeping in the background, that was that client's panic alert.
I absolutely love that. Well, those were some great points today. Of course, I had four or five more, but we're at that point of time where John McKay is going to kick us off the air. I will say just real quick, I think I learned this, you know, I grew up in an agriculture and farming family, and so mm-hmm. I'm just going to give a quick shout out to farmers out there, because learning how to deal with outside factors outside of your control, you know, harvest and everything going on, and they're dealing with weather, you know, talk about the ultimate, you know, deal. So big shout out to all the ag guys out there, and thanks for what you do. It's a big piece of our community.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, how can we get a hold of you if we have any of these lending questions?
The direct line at the office is 572-3651.
All right. If you need any referrals or you need to get a hold of us, you can always go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a quick email, and we'd be love to help you out.
And we'll be back here next week on News Talk 870.